This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, Woody, thank you. And the big lefty, Alan Poupart, Miami Dolphins on SI.com, host of the All Dolphins podcast, does a great job covering the Miami Dolphins. A lot of you follow him, and it's time we've been waiting for this, Bo, to get into some Miami Dolphins stuff. I've kind of slowed it down a little bit today on it. Alan, good morning, man. How you doing?
Good. How you fellas doing?
We're good. Hey,
hold on. Alan, yeah. Let me. I need some sage information from you right now. Give me the scouting report on Joe's tennis game.
He's wearing me
because
out.
You're beating his butt pretty good. And every time I talk to him, he goes, "I'm a damn Poupart, man.
Killing me."
Joe's got a very unique game.
Yes, he does.
He's a tough matchup. A whole lot of slicing, yep. Drop shot, and he's a gamer.
He's a backboard too, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
I guess not when you play.
By the way. Hey, thanks for not. Yeah, you were going overboard. You were making it sound like I was winning a lot of those matches 6-3. So thank you for stopping right there. Hey, so lot of news to get to. A lot of people haven't been happy about this Zach Wilson. What was your take on the backup quarterback that they choose to come in for Tua if he gets injured, Zach Wilson?
Yeah, the two words I'm thinking of are either interesting or weird. Because my thing is, it's strange to me that you would go for a lower floor, higher ceiling guy when you have your established starting quarterback, as opposed to going with somebody who's got a higher floor, and even if he has a lower ceiling, where you know more what you're going to get. Because here's the thing. I mean, it's great that everybody is saying that Zach Wilson became a new quarterback once he got to work with Sean Payton. Fact remains, he hasn't played in a regular season game since that Dolphins game at Hard Rock Stadium in December 2023. And does anybody really know what he's going to look like the next time he's in a regular season game? Go ahead.
Just to follow that up, I think, and listen, we've been blaming Chris for everything so far, but I think this is on Mike, that Mike wanted Zach Wilson. I think he liked him coming out of BYU, and I think he and that coaching staff are not going to say it, but they looked and said he wasn't well coached. He had no chance to be successful with what he played with the Jets. I can get it done like I did with Tua. Do you agree?
Without question, but that can be dangerous because I recall a certain Dolphin head coach who also fancied himself, and I like the guy, fancied himself as a quarterback whisperer, thought he could make Ryan Tannehill into an elite quarterback, banging his head against a wall until it happened, and it never did happen. At some point, you know, as Bill Parcells says, the quarterback says what quarterback you are, whatever you want to spend it.
You know, to me, with that signing, if indeed that's going to be the savior for the backup quarterback, which he's going to be the backup quarterback. To me, it kind of feels like you're in the same situation as Skylar Thompson last year.
I don't know, Bo. That's
right?
He got a lot of starts.
My thing. I know he's had more starts. But you haven't seen anything out of him.
He hasn't had a lot of success.
I mean, yeah. I'm not talking about, you know, how many times you've played, how many times you've started, but just the production or lack thereof. And I don't see – so do you think you're in Seattle in week two and you put Zach Wilson in there instead of Skylar Thompson last year, you're going to come out and win that football game?
I think you would have done a much better job instead of the ball ricocheting off his head. Yeah.
I mean
– And that's the thing. The thing is you have a lot more to work with athletically with Zach Wilson than you did with Skylar.
He was the second pick in the draft, and they had that. They worked with that. They worked with what he was. Didn't last very long.
No, it didn't. They gave him
correct. But who's to say it can't be unlocked? And that's the thing. There's at least with Zach Wilson, there's a possibility of something greater there. Whereas with Skylar Thompson, which was a limited guy from the start.
So you're telling me he's got a higher ceiling of you hope he can play, right?
Well, physically, he's got a lot.
Absolutely.
He's got a big arm, and he can move. Bo's not drinking that Kool-Aid. It might be a little too sweet this morning. But I want to ask you about this free agent class so far. Not our guys that we've re-signed, but the rest of them. What did you like best, the position you like best?
Oh, to me, by far, it's Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Because I was scratching my brain yesterday and looking at when's the last time the Dolphins had what you would call a good third wide receiver.
They haven't. Mike has not had it.
Correct. We've gone from Trent Sherfield to Cedric Wilson Jr. to last year, wound up being Malik Washington, who's got promise, but still was a rookie sixth-round pick. And this is guy, you're looking at a guy who had 9 touchdowns last year. And something else that he brings that the Dolphins haven't had is some size at the wide receiver position, because you can't have just nothing but 5'9", 5'10 guys, or even Jalen Waddle's a little taller, but he's still a small guy. And the contract is good, so I absolutely love that pick. I like the gamble on James Daniels, even though he's coming off the Achilles injury, and there is a risk. But the way the contract is structured, if it doesn't work out and he doesn't get back to the guy you think he can be, they can move on after 1 year without too much of a cap pain. So those are the two that stood out to me. Melifon was the same way, is another one that's low risk.
Three games last year with Detroit. And then Ashton Davis, we've seen play some, had a couple interceptions. Still got to upgrade the safety. Not enough with what you saw there?
No, I agree. They could use like the one main guy, because Ashton Davis was mostly a special teams guy. And Melifon, who to me has starter ability, was limited to 3 games. And I was talking to somebody from Detroit yesterday who was telling me like he was like basically – returning from a stint on IR with an ankle injury when he sustained a finger injury in practice, and they had to put him back on IR, which is either really, really, really bad luck or injury prone.
You know, when I look at these people that they've acquired, and what it tells me a little bit is, you know, going into this free agency period, you didn't know what you're going to get, and you've kind of felt the draft was going to so with these signings that they've made, to me it gives you flexibility when it comes to the draft more so than before. Do you understand what I'm saying? Where, you know, they're counting on these two offensive linemen to maybe be able to fill that guard hole, so maybe they don't have to draft a guard early on. They found a safety or two safeties in there that if one of them works, so that gives them. You know, it's not so hard pressed to go into the draft and get a safety early on. And I just think, and I'm not saying these guys are all going to be good players or they're all going to be bad players. I just think it's kind of loosened the flexibility going into the draft.
Yeah, they spread it. They spread it. Yeah.
So you stand there and you, were they 12 or 13?
13th pick.
So you're sitting there 13 and Ashton Gentry's sitting there. You know, you know, and if you feel like you feel like the value is there.
Somebody will lose their friggin' job taking a running back.
I mean,
thank you, Joe.
But I could see him saying, "Well, look, we got these two guys that are gonna play guard for us. We got these two safeties. Now we can make this little, you know, It wouldn't surprise me, but
you're sounding like Perk a little bit, like
no,
Chris Perkins
I
right
just
now,
I just bit. Think what I'm saying is with the players they I'm hoping it's not that the players that they've signed don't make them shy away from maybe let's say you get there and there's the number one number two guard the on your board is there. You know, that you don't take him because, oh, we got these
yeah,
two
no,
guys.
No, I want them to
fill
yes,
that.
Yes,
right?
I'm with you. Yeah, if you can upgrade that. And by the way, guys, I think both of you agree with this. Like, this is nice, and they've done it on the cheap. Everybody's noticed. They haven't spent a lot of money. It's been low-end, I call it tier two guys. This draft's got to be – there's got to be some serious yeah. emphasis put on this draft to have guys come in and play with this many draft picks. You agree?
Yeah, here's the thing, though. Are we really surprised that they went, like, bargain shopping? That's what they did last year. I mean, if you look at the biggest contract they gave out last year was Jordan Brooks, which was 3 for 26. And then you got James Daniels, which is 3 for 24 with an out after one. So they're following the same pattern, and they're going to supplement what they've done with, again, like the second wave of free agency. I think you're going to see a lot of guys sign. They're going to re-sign more of their own guys. The one thing is, no, they still have a couple of, to me, glaring needs that they haven't touched on yet, and that's cornerback, and that's also a defensive tackle. And right now, I'm with Joe. You draft Ashton Jeanty, it'd be like, yeah, great player, but exactly how many years in a row are you going to spend a high pick on a running
back? Look, I'm just grabbing a name that's a name.
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
Okay, we'll let it slide.
We're going to let it go this time.
I'm trying to be creative, Alan. Like your tennis game. I'm trying to be creative.
Let me tell you, he just smokes it past me. There's nothing creative. He just rips it. Hey, so speaking of all this stuff, and you hit all these positions. We're not done at guard, by the way. This is not the breakfast that Chris had with Mike, and they're laughing at us a little bit about how stupid we are. This is like we need another big guy, right? A young guy can come in maybe and play right away. You agree with that?
Yeah, and this is where you can land one like in the draft, perhaps second or third round, maybe if you can get one there. I'm not crazy about the idea of spending the 13th pick on a pure guard if it's a tackle.
I agree. By the way, I'm with you on that. I don't want that. I don't think, by the way, just from the history of Chris, that there are certain positions he doesn't want to spend a lot of money in a first-round pick, and one of them's guard. I don't know if Chris has ever drafted a guard in the first round. I know he has in the second round.
Yeah.
Guy just went to Carolina, just got paid a lot of money, was a guard. But that was second round.
Yep, Robert Hunt. And then they did what they did with Tussle. You remember the tackle that they used at guard the first year because Brandon Albert was there.
That's right.
So, no, right now – there's still more moves to come in free agency right now. To me, it has to scream cornerback or D tackle with that 13th pick.
Let me ask.
If again, all things being equal, if there's like a complete stud at another position, that's not a position where you already have more than enough. Then I think you have to go with one of those two spots.
Mike, tell me if you guys believe this. Mike really wants Teron and Calais back, and is calling them and saying, "Man, we want both you guys back to come and be part of this." You both agree?
I agree.
Definitely with Calais. With Teron, let's say I'm 80% on board. I think that part of it is, I think the organization, probably Mike more so, but I think the organization wouldn't mind seeing, let's see what we got in Patrick Paul.
Oh, no, I think Patrick Paul could start.
I think, to me, when you talk about Calais and Teron, it's a little bit twofold. The leadership that they bring and what they do in the practice field and what they do with some of these young players, because you talk to Chop, and he'll tell you those two guys, Calais and Teron, were the guys that got him playing to the level that he got to last year. And so for me, and then this is kind of stupid thinking, but I do that a lot of times. If you can get Teron back on the cheap, I would start Patrick Paul and keep Teron on the sideline as a backup.
I'm with you on that.
In the event that either one of your guys breaks down. You can always use Austin Jackson, or you can do whatever, but you have him there. And to me, we saw this last year in training camp. We're watching and the offensive line coach, he slips my mind now.
Butch Berry
is frustrated with that offensive line in a practice. And he goes immediately over to Teron, pulls him over, talks to him, and you see Teron going up and down that line.
Yeah.
So he's like, you know, to me, he's like the old basketball, you'd have the player coach. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, a guy like that you could he play, but he could coach. And so I think those are two very unique guys to me. That there maybe two of the only guys I could think in this league that bring that kind of value to the team.
And you know the other thing.
Can I interject something here?
Yeah,
sorry to put a wrinkle in your idea, but why would we think or how confident are we that Teron Armstead, who's been a starter his entire NFL career, would put his body after injury after injury after injury through another year of rigor like that to come back as a backup when he clearly is still the best left tackle?
Well, let me put it this way. My last year, the year I got cut, I was beat up. I wasn't the same guy I was the last few years ago. I would have gladly taken another year of contract.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. I think easy, the amount
me,
of money
me,
he can, whatever
me,
he negotiates.
That's a scholarship. That's easy money.
Yeah.
Right?
And he knows why he's there,
he's
number
enough.
One.
He's made enough. When's enough, Alan?
Yeah, have enough. Guys like Teron, man, he'll be the first. He's old school. You can't make enough. I agree with that. By the way, the other thing I noticed on the bus one day, Teron is one guy that Tyreek listens to. And the big personalities that you have, and you're going to have big personalities, to put it nicely today. And I think the two guys they respect are Calais and Teron. Those are two guys can say, shut the F up. You gone too far. This is on you, dude. You messed up. And I don't think a lot of guys on that team want to do that. And I don't know if Ramsey and Tyreek and those guys, they only respect a few guys on that team. Really respect a few guys on that team. Two is probably in there, too. Hey, man, thank you. Alan, I appreciate it, man. Lefty, you open tomorrow? You open for, are you busy?
No, I already have a match tomorrow, Joe.
Wow.
We got Ira Winman.
Who are you playing?
No, Harvey.
Yeah, that Harvey's yours. Yeah, I'm out of that one. Harvey.
Harvey Green?
Fialkoff.
Oh.
No, Green.
Yeah. I get Fialkoff.
Fialkoff's a good player.
You've been ducking me for 2 weeks, Joe, so, you know, you're trying to nail me like right at the last
I had this stomach flu, rough week I had, and I should have reached out to you, and I apologize. Hey, thank you. Appreciate it, Alan.
You got it.
Alan Poulpart, Miami Dolphins on SI.com, host of the All Dolphins podcast. A lot of you follow, very popular. We got to go to break, man. Got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning. But first, I want to tell you about Harvey Cohen and Gary Judah, the partners of Cohen and Judah, injury law firm, personal injury attorneys in Plantation. Yes, the same partners who will handle your case from start to finish. There's not another 18 lawyers off the side just out of law school. They're overdoing the work. They do the work, man, with all that experience you're getting. 30-plus years of experience each. Big enough to go to trial and get you a multi-million dollar result. Small enough just to call you back. They believe in communication. They're good at it, even on the weekends. Hey, if you're with a law firm right now and have a case and you're a little frustrated, you feel like you're just a number and you're not getting a priority that you think you should be getting, call Harvey and Gary. Let them take care of it. Let them take a look at it. They'll tell you what they can do. You'll love the fact that it's old school communication skills the way it should be. Go to CohenandJudah.com. Follow. Take a look at what the reviews are saying about them. Partners that really care about you. 866-FAIR-FEE. That's 866-FAIR-FEE. And remember this, they don't pay other lawyers to do the work you hire them to do.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, before we get back to the show here, WQAM invites you to experience every upset, every buzzer beater, every heart-stopping moment at Odyssey's Buckets and Bets from March 20th to the 23rd. Presented by Hard Rock Bet, we're transforming Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood into the ultimate college basketball tip-off weekend. Immerse yourself with massive LED screens, beers, real-time betting action, VIP tickets and packages available at Ticketmaster. You get all the info at WQAM.com. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 and up and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino Hollywood. Sponsored by Gunther Mazda. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Mazda.
All right, Woody.
Big event coming up here.
All right. Hey, thank you. And Kim Bocamper's with us. Bo, nice to see you in here, bud, and get a chance. It's been no surprise. They didn't spend a lot of money on free agency. They were looking for bargains of players that can help them. I just think this draft, we're all a little bit different about expectations on the draft. I just think if we're really going to take the next step up, because we got a long way to go to catch the teams we've had the last 2 years. Bo, tell me if you disagree. And I just think this draft coming up, first round, second round, third round, 2 4s, 2 5s, and 4 7s, that we got to find some guys can play real quickly.
Yeah, you got to get a lot of runs batted in on this draft,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
You can't swing and miss. And look, they don't all have to be all pros, but you got to find some guys that can make an impact.
Chop. You got to chop it up even sooner than Chop. Chop was the second
halfer.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see the improvement from Chop from now to from where we left off to what he's going to do, what he's going to work. Because, you know, for me, I don't know about you, and I'm sure you're the same way. Every year I went to training camp, there was something I wanted to work on.
Right.
During this period, these 6 weeks, whatever, however long it was when we were doing it, I want to get better at this, and so I'd work on it and work on it, and so for me, Chop is working on the run game, setting the edge a little bit more, being a little more active, being a little more stout on the run game. You get him there, and it's going to be really good. But you need to get if they keep the first round pick, you know, if they don't trade out of the round,
right,
or pick up some other picks,
or
they drop down, whatever.
Yep.
Whoever they get, that guy's got to be an impact guy. He's got to play. He's got to, you know, and maybe it's a Chop Robinson thing. Maybe it's a Patrick Paul thing. Where, hey, stick him in there. Let him make his mistakes. Let him figure it out. And by this time, you know, by midway through the season, you see what you've gotten in the guy. So they're going to need that, number one. And then, again, like I was talking earlier, you know, what they've done here, safety, you got a wide receiver, big guy, you got a couple offensive linemen, you got a so-called backup quarterback. So to me, the draft has changed for the Dolphins now, where there's a little bit more, they got a little bit more wiggle room to if they believe in some of these guys that they can do the job. Particularly, I'm looking at that offensive line. You know,
let's get back for a second. Some people don't disagree on this. Teron, I think Teron's going to come back and play. It's just me personally.
I think he. I believe.
I heard him say he's going to negotiate a contract when he comes back.
I believe he wants to. I believe he really wants to come back. And the only thing with him is that knee. If his knee. Let's say, you know, 3 weeks from now, that knee's feeling great. Then I think, you know, he's all in.
Good point. If he's still hurting and he's going, it's not where he needs to be, then
yeah. I remember talking to him at the end of the season. And
you're close to him, yeah.
And you know, and I said, you know, that knee's killing you, right? Yeah. And you know, he was like a fence. You know, he could post that right foot, and that wasn't going to budge, but that left knee couldn't. It would just swing. He couldn't withstand the pressure. And playing a left tackle, still, that left side.
He's still really good, though.
Yeah, no, but I mean, look. And even with that, I'd see him dragging that foot or that leg around, and he's still playing at a very high level.
Yeah, so let's get back. This I think Patrick Paul has to start.
Got to.
And
you can't.
But there are people
going to
go, well,
like
wait
that.
A second. If Teron's the best guy and we want to give the best protection, and I'm going, no, the guy's got to get to the next step. Yeah. He's got to know that the veteran behind him goes, I know why I'm here. I'm your backup, and I got to get you better.
Well, he's already benefited from Teron being out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I like when I saw him come in. I really like him from a fundamental standpoint.
Big long
guy.
He's
a big, long arms. He's got a stout base. He's got good balance. He rarely gets tilted. And so to me, the more I saw him play, the more I liked it. Just from the because you know you can't get better unless you play in a game and you get to look at the tape and watch me playing in a game, not in a practice. In a game where it's real,
you got that's the only way. And, right? and look at they don't practice like we did, and we're not getting into that. But you got to get it done in the preseason in the games.
So
Teron's a backup for you coming back.
I think he stay ready. I think he might if you put it to him this way, much like I talked about. We talked about with Allen. Said, hey, look, we're going to bring you in here. You're going to be the backup. We'll get a contract that fits for both of us. But we want you to be. We want you to mentor these guys. We want you to be half a coach, you know. I got a feeling for him post career. I'm not sure he would want to be an offensive. That might be, you know, that he likes the game so much, likes to be around the game, like that may be his next step. It's just what I see, and I haven't spoken to him about it or anything. But
I think Mike has learned his personality. He needs guys like Calais and Teron on the team to do things that he can't do that they can do with players.
Yeah.
And tell them stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
no doubt.
Like we had Cooch. Cooch would tell you what he thought.
Yeah.
I don't know if – well, we had a lot of guys, but Cooch would tell you. Nat would be another guy would tell you, like, if you're doing something wrong.
Well, the number one guy, and I only played with him for a short period of time, was Jake Scott. Jake Scott would just say, hey, you're playing like crap, you know, or he'd just say, you stink, you know. You got to, you know, I mean, he was, you know, and you know, and, but look, through our whole career, we had guys that were like that. They were quasi coaches as well as being really good players.
They were smart guys, and they knew how it was supposed to look.
Yeah.
And they didn't need Shula to tell them if they saw something they didn't like as a player.
They let you know.
And that was, I'd never been around that.
No.
And I was sitting at lunch one day, and Cooch said, hey, kickoff team. My guy didn't get me. I'm the first guy down there. I whiff. And he goes, man, you got to make that tackle. And I was like, the fact that Cooch is an offensive lineman even knew that I was running down to make a tackle, or in this case, with nothing but air.
And
I was like, whoa. He goes, listen, man, seriously, you got to make that player. You ain't going to be around here.
But
that was just the old school way.
That was the old school way. I mean, you know, when you go back to that 71, 72, 73 teams there, I mean, there's the one year, I think it was maybe the year they went undefeated. The defense had like 13 missed assignments. 13 missed assignments all year long.
Yeah, that's
all year long. Like we had 13 in a game.
Yeah, that's like straight A every friggin' week, man. You could do anything with those guys. That's like your guys, man. You guys had us. If you play for Arnsberger, if you could have all the, and I was thinking of some guys, physically have all the talent in the world, but if that brain didn't work, you couldn't play for him.
Yeah, you made one mistake and you're, sit down and think about it a little bit.
I started thinking, I started to say a first-round guy's name, and like, he can't play. He makes too many adjustments on the play. We got to go to break here. We got a lot more stuff to get to. Stay with us. Kim Bocamper's with us. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, and good morning to everybody. We, man, you know, sometimes, Bo, you and I aren't big social media heads, although you're doing a much better job with the podcast on that
stuff. I'm trying to learn that.
Do you really want to get like where you got to get back to people and follow?
No, I don't want. But look,
and somebody says you suck and all that social media mean stuff.
But I'm starting to get the, I'm starting to get it, a little bit. I'm trying to learn the value of it.
Yeah.
Right? Like for a podcast to get it out a little bit and how you use social media to enhance those kind of things. But I'm also now I'm watching a lot less like TV news. I always read the newspaper. That's kind of where I get I read three or four different newspapers, get a lot of different kind of things. But now I'm on I'm on X and I'm doing Instagram.
Twitter's the best place to get news, by the way. Well, everything on there is pretty good.
So let me ask you, it's called X now, right?
Yeah.
Sure. So what do you call it? Do you call it X or Twitter?
I call it Twitter, but it's a tremendous place to get news.
No, usually. That's what I'm on most of the time now is X. Because now I'm getting where I see things that I'm interested in and then I follow them and then you get more of it. So it's I'm kind of a
Neanderthal. You understand like that's how it works, right?
No, I know.
They
it's
follow
an
you around and
no, it's an algorithm.
They, yeah, okay.
It's the more you stop on, the more you're going to see the same.
Now, whatever news it is that you want or whatever it is you believe,
they will find people
that will reinforce your views.
I understand that.
Think there's a lot of news on there, but most of it's not.
But I'm looking at, like, if I look at something and I see something from the New York Times, and then I go, oh, you know what? I like the New York Times. I'll follow it. And so, then I'll get that information. I'm not that stupid. I can figure it out, but I'm very new to it. I'm like the tip of the iceberg.
You got to show him right now with the downfalls of social media. Is that where you're leading?
Yeah, no, I know where. I know.
No. I was talking about this Carson Beck, this quarterback at the UM.
Before. There's dangers out there, Bo. This is a danger of social media.
Bo, let's just say we are lucky. We got in South Florida in the 70s and 80s.
We're lucky that we didn't have these phones that had cameras on them. That wouldn't have been a good thing for us.
Somebody going through your phone or like you go to DM somebody and something, all this stuff. But anyway,
you walk out of a bathroom, you rub your nose.
I didn't think of that one. And everybody's clicking their phone at you. Yeah. Busted again.
Yeah.
Oh, but coming out of September's and all that stuff running down your nose. So Hannah Cavender, who's very famous, and Woody's telling me, I didn't know this, she makes Carson Beck kind of money.
Yeah, she's got the twins, right?
The twins.
Now, they were at UM basketball, then they left.
Then they came back, right? She came back. She had eligibility and got bored making all that money, wanted to do something. Yeah. She's back playing basketball, she and her sister. And somehow she met Carson Beck. So we got a little breakup. Guy's been here. He made it through 1 week of spring football, and he's not even throwing yet.
Yeah.
He's got a shoulder elbow problem. He's getting – but so
– didn't take him long to get three cars stolen either.
No.
Right, huh?
My God, how about that? How about – so the guy's the star.
How about locking the car, man?
Yeah, right. How about locking your door in the front so
somebody can't
come in?
You're not in Athens, Georgia anymore, my man.
Yeah.
So it's tough to tell, like, what they're – actually worth. I think it looks like they got about $2 million combined in NIL deals.
Well, I thought he got like
twins.
4 point something.
This is the twin, the Cavender twins.
Okay, yeah.
And so they have a deal with, you'll love this, Jake Paul's betting company.
Yeah.
So they have a deal with that one too.
So does one get paid more than the other?
I don't know.
I don't know. That's a good question.
But it does say, I don't know how accurate this is. It says their combined net worth is around $4.4 million. But,
looks like
they make a lot of money on social media.
If he's messing around, Ohana might be saying, hey, Carson.
Yeah. I don't need your money. I got my own.
And Carson's probably going, now that I've been here in South Florida, I realize there's a lot of different things on the menu down here. So maybe, anyway.
He's not really
go ahead and say it.
Movie star handsome, I would say.
No, he's not. Thought that same thing when he walked by me.
I go, what?
But you know what?
What?
That's what you thought when he walked by you?
Yes. And I got to tell you one better than that. When I saw that, I went, it's a good thing you're the quarterback of the University of Miami because now you do look a lot better. And, by the way,
what's funny? Rough.
I remember one of our former teammates that played tackle.
Conehead?
Cone.
Yeah.
And
Cone
had a beautiful wife.
Beautiful.
She was beautiful.
Yeah.
You call this guy Cone?
Conehead. Call him Conehead. How'd you like that? And they had a
big, awkward head.
Yeah.
Like, I think,
real quiet guy, played right tackle.
Used to have one of those. Remember, he passed away.
Is the reason.
The helmets that we had back then weren't what they had now. And he had, remember those guys that had a big forehead and that pad sit there, and he always had a bruise.
Yeah.
And that's right. When they started calling him Conehead because it was a Saturday Night Live thing. It was a.
So the guy. He now all of a sudden marries this woman, and I'm like, this just does. And not to be mean.
Let me tell you what, he was a very good friend.
He was a great guy. Oh, no, he's a wonderful guy.
He lived a couple doors down from me. Good guy. Came from Tulane.
I'm talking about the matchup.
Smart guy.
The wife.
I know. And when I first saw her with him, I go, really? Really? I mean, she was a bombshell, right?
Yeah.
And it was like, Country Joe or something,
I was wondering. I was waiting for you to say, yeah. But, hey, man, when you're a UM quarterback and they know who you are, it's a little different. You put that uniform on.
Yeah, man.
You look a lot better.
You guys are rough on each other in the day, though, right? I would imagine.
Hey, listen, nothing sacred in our locker room.
Yeah. No.
You walked.
But look, tell me this. How many guys do you see that are very, very ordinary and maybe on the ugly side?
Yeah.
Not very fit, but they've got one thing, a big wallet.
Oh, no,
and
people aren't like that.
This guy's 68 years old and you got some 20. Well, Bill Belichick, let's go there. Right?
Oh, but that's not fair.
No, yeah,
that's
fair.
True love. It has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with you've been a famous coach and you got $100 million in the bank.
That is as fair as anything when you're talking about this subject.
Where do you stand on that, by the way?
Bill Belichick.
How gross is that?
25-year-old. It's gross.
Thank you.
It is.
Thank you.
You got a problem with it?
For me.
She's in love with an older man.
I got married this last year. I tell people, I robbed the cradle. I'm 70 years old. She's 61. I feel like that's a big gap. These guys are 25 years old. This guy's older than me, I think,
It is a little creepy that
I mean, like, you know, let me
the
let
same
me,
age as
let
her
me,
grandparents.
I don't want, the first time she sees him without any clothes, does she go, "Oh, wow. Look what I got."
Yeah, let's get rolling here. Yeah.
No, she goes, "I'm going to suck it up till he croaks."
There you go. Bingo. Yeah. There you go.
So you don't think it's just Bill Belichick and a great personality and all that stuff? You think it has to do with he was
when did Bill Belichick get a personality?
No, that's a good point.
You add that to it, right? Although the funny thing about
she's a good looking woman. I think she's a good looking woman.
I think what she has done has tainted her to a point where I just can't.
How?
I can't look at her even in that way.
Well, look. So
that's gonna be the
bro.
New
I would look at, like. Here's the thing. Like, I wouldn't date her after she got finished with my grandfather.
It really bothers Woody.
So let me ask you: who would have thought? Who would have thought with these two personalities that once they got out of the business they were in, they were going to become media stars? Bill Belichick and Nick Saban.
By the way,
Nick Saban has become
really good. He's
Nick
likeable.
Saban has become a great personality.
He's doing commercials.
He's
very likable. He does.
And you know who I credit for that? Pat McAfee. I think Pat dragged his personality.
Yes, he did.
He dragged that personality out of him. And Nick's look, I couldn't stand Nick. Now I like him. He's funny. You know, he's insightful.
We got down here caused me to
to
constantly get after him a little bit on the show here. Yeah, he was.
But that's the new thing, right? You spend your entire career crapping on the media, and then you become the media.
Yeah, that's the new thing.
But you can't get mad because
like Randy Moss.
Randy Moss is another one.
You can name all those. You know, Keith Jackson. All these guys that wouldn't talk to the media, that spit on the media, that treated them like trash. Now they're,
hey, well, you make money doing this.
Who was the worst player you ever dealt with, Bo? Is there someone that comes to mind?
Oh, he asked me this last week. Go ahead.
I know who you fought with over the years, but I'm curious with Bo.
He's kind of a good guy, kind of bad. So my biggest...
What's the category on this one, though, just so I know? Worst guy to ever put on a Dolphin uniform?
No, it could just be anyone. Bo's been in the media for a while. Just anyone you've ran into that you really hated.
When I first started, I had nothing to do with the media, and I got pulled in when Joe Zagacki left WIOD to come to QAM, and he was doing the pregame show for the Dolphins. 610 had the Dolphins then, and so they called me and said, hey, can you do the pregame show? Fill in for Joe. Yeah. So I did, and that's kind of how I got my foot in the door. So after about two weeks in, the season's on, and they say, can you go down to training camp? We'll give you a microphone and a tape recorder, which you used to do, and get some interviews. So I go down like on a Thursday, and I go in, and Keith Jackson's there, right?
I was wondering where that name came from.
And I go, So I'm new. I don't know. You know, all these media guys are standing around. I'm new to it, you know. And I walk over to Keith. I said, "Hey, Keith, you got a couple of minutes? Can I talk to you a little bit?" He goes, "No." He goes, "No, I don't. I talk on Wednesdays. This is when the day thing came.
Yeah,
it was at the beginning of the day thing, right? I have a job. I can't come down here on Wednesdays. This is the only day I can come down. Can I just get a couple of your minutes? A couple of minutes with you?" No, I only talk on Wednesday. I said, "Well, look, I'm telling you, I can't come down on Wednesday. I can only come on Thursday." And so he looks at me and he says, and he looks and he points at all the media guys. He goes, "Why should I treat you any different than I treat those guys?"
Ooh.
Right? And I looked at him. I said, "You know what? Because I went on strike, so you can make the money that you're making right now." And he goes, "Okay, I'll talk to you." I said, "Too late." I said, "F you." And then I was wondering why you say Keith. And then I started doing the post game show. Then I started doing the post all by myself. And I'm going to tell you what, that guy made a misstep. Well, I beat him down like a yard dog.
Yeah.
I said, you know, it's just.
Man, I got to tell you, he was great.
I mean, I know Danny loved him and everybody. But, you know, he just, you know, for him to say that to me, you know, and I'd only been out of the league for a handful of years.
Yeah, so.
And for him to say something like that to me, I said, no, this ain't going to happen.
That's a pretty good one. So, worst guy we ever covered.
Mark Kotze.
What's the story on this one?
Oh, the baseball guys.
Kevin Brown who you...
Right. I know Kevin Brown.
All those pitchers. The pitchers were.
Those guys.
Let's backtrack. I don't know.
That team had some really good guys. The Al Leiters, Charles Johnson, Craig Counsell. They had a ton of great guys on
Conine.
That team. Jeff Conine, for top of the list. But they had some clowns on that team. They had some real ass clowns. Kevin Brown, and then who? So one day, Bo and I are all. I don't know what day it was.
Well, it was like it was a Wednesday or whatever. And
anyway,
you're getting in there. You got to get sound for the 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock news or whatever, right?
So, I guess these guys said they're all standing there because they tell the story after all these years. And he goes, "Hey, I'm not gonna be able to talk."
No, let me tell you. So here's what goes on when you go in.
Who is this? This is Kotze?
Mark Kotze. So this you go in there and And you walk in, you try to be, you know, you try to give them, I hated being in the clubhouse because it's their space. So you kind of walk up and you'd stand like a little bit behind them just so they see you, so they know that you kind of want to talk to them. And then, so meanwhile, they've got their, so he's jiggling with his socks and doing this, and Joe's standing there for like 10 minutes, and he's fun. So finally gets up and turns around, and Joe goes, hey, can I ask you a couple questions? Oh, no, I got to go in the, what?
I think he said, I got my parents there outside and stuff. I got to go.
And all of a sudden, Joe goes, what? And he goes, yeah, I got to go. Oh, no, no, what do you do? He was hitting about 195 at the time. He goes, oh, what are you going to do? Go check the All-Star ballot to see what you see where you stand? And I mean, did. Just started going off on it.
I hit him on all kinds of things.
Then he goes, no, I'll talk to you now. He goes, I don't want to talk. And he just kept, I mean, like almost berating him all the way into the.
I think I taunted him all the way to the freaking door. I didn't let up. And the next day, man, he was salty. The PR goes, can you talk to him? He's really hurt about what you did. So, all right, we got to go to break. 9 o'clock hour's coming up.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on. 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.